Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, God's Chosen Vessel Ministries. This is my show. I am here to minister the Word of God. Today, I will be doing a Bible teaching on Romans chapter 5. This is a part 3. This is a series of Bible teachings on one chapter, Romans chapter 5. We have done part 2 and part 1 and part 2, and now we are going to dive into the scriptures on part 3 of the teachings of Romans chapter 5. It's a very, very deep passage of scripture because it lets us know just how much we are justified by faith through what Jesus Christ has done for us, and no longer are we held accountable for our sins, but Jesus took our place on the cross. And he became the judgment for us. So it is him who took our sins upon himself, and so we no longer are held accountable in the manner of having to go to hell or live eternity in hell, and we are reconciled back to God where we can love him again. Amen. And so I give God the honor, the glory, and the praise for using me here today. I would encourage you that if you do have a Bible, please get your Bible and follow along with me. So whether you're listening live or you're coming to the archives, it would be a good idea to get your own Bible and to follow along with me, because I don't want you to take my word for it, but God's word for it. Amen. I am just a messenger, just a person who God chooses to minister through. Amen. So we left off on verse 12, and it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned." So, you know, what we talked about in that scripture right there is that by the one man, Adam, you know, because of his disobedience and eating of the forbidden fruit that God told him not to eat of, sin entered into the world for all of mankind. And death was passed unto all men. And what that means is that all men had condemnation. All men were condemned to go to hell after the fall of Adam. So anybody that was born into the world, be it man, woman, boy, or girl, we were all destined for hell. Basically, that's what it means. And it says, "For that all have sinned," okay? So if anybody tells you that they have not sinned, they make God's word a lie, okay? Because all have sinned. Why? Because we were all born with a sin nature. Because of the fall of Adam, everyone that was born into this world was born with a sin nature. I don't want to spend much time on that scripture because I already went over that scripture in part 2 of Romans. I'm going to be going on to verse 13 of Romans chapter 5 now. And it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So basically what this scripture is telling us here, it says, at one time, sin was in the world, okay? And God did not impute people's sins unto them, okay? Why? Because there had been no law established against sin. So when Moses came on the scene, what happened was God used Moses to give the children of Israel some laws and guidelines to live by concerning sin, okay? So what those laws did, those commandments, those laws did, was make man know that sin was in his life. For until the law, so before the law, there was sin, okay? There's no doubt there was sin, but man was not held accountable for sin. Man's sin was not imputed unto him. But what God did is that because he couldn't continue to let sin continue to reign, you know, without man being held accountable for it. So what he did was he used Moses to bring in the commandments, you know, it's popular talking about the Ten Commandments, but they were much more commandments than the Ten Commandments, you know. There were much more commandments that were given than the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament way or letter of doing things. And no man could live perfectly by this because no man was perfect. Each man that was in the world, even back in the Old Testament days, they were all of a sin nature. So if you got a sin nature and somebody tell you not to do something that's sinful, because you got a sin nature, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because your nature is of sin. And even though you might not want to do those things, you're going to do them. Why? Because you got a sin nature. Okay? It's like air trying to work against breathing and breathing trying to work against air. You can't do one without the other. Amen? And so that's how it was back then, you know. So, you know, many people thought back then that when Moses came down with those Ten Commandments, that, you know, that was going to be a blessing unto them. But what it did, it wasn't a blessing unto them because no man could live in it perfectly, okay? And so what it did was just make men know that they were of a sin nature and that they were sinful people and that no man was perfect. So what was meant to bring, what they thought was meant to bring life unto them, it was actually bringing death unto them. The law was bringing death unto them because no man could live perfectly by the law. Amen. So verse 15, it says, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, okay, excuse me, number 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over from Adam to Moses, excuse me, I'm sorry. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So even those, put it like this, they were born with a sin nature, but there were some exceptions that could follow the law of the letter. Okay, there were some exceptions. Okay, but even though they could, still their destiny was condemnation because they had a sin nature. They were born with a sin nature. So condemnation was definitely their destiny. They were going to be condemned. Amen. So anybody that was born after Adam until Moses, they still had condemnation as their destiny. They were going to be condemned to death. Why? Because everybody was born with a sin nature. Now, when Moses came in, what God did was so that everybody would not have to receive condemnation, what he did was he used the high priest to go in to make atonement for the sins of the people by using the blood of lambs and bulls and sheep and things like that. So they would sacrifice animals unto the Lord, you know, as a way of covering the sins of the people. There had to be some type of sacrifice. And at that time, God did not sacrifice people. He sacrificed animals as a way of shedding the blood to make atonement for the sins of the people, okay? Now, the funny thing about that is if the priest that went in was not clean himself, then he may not make it back from the place where he went to sacrifice the sins of the people. So if he had some stuff that he was dealing with and he hadn't got it right, then he may not make it, and he was not the perfect person to make an atonement for the sins of the people. That way was a substitute, but it was not a way that was perfect, and men kept sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And, you know, God had to do something new, okay? God had to bring something new in, you know, to make an atonement for the people's sins once and for all. That's where Jesus comes on the scene, amen? Verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, okay? Now, the free gift is being offered unto all men. It's not offered unto all men as the offense came. The offense came unto all men. Okay? The offense came unto all men. The offense was the transgression of Adam. And so the sin nature came unto every person that was born, amen, after Adam. The sin nature came unto every person that was born, okay? Notice I said the sin nature came unto all men. The sin nature was not offered unto all men. And that's the big difference between the gift of Jesus Christ, amen, and the offense of Adam. The offense of Adam came unto all men. The gift of Jesus Christ was offered unto all men. It was for all men. But not everybody can receive the gift, because the thing is, God gave us free will to choose the gift. And that's the difference right there, my brothers and sisters, between how the sin nature came unto all men and the free gift of eternal life is a gift unto all men who want to receive it. That's a big difference right there. So let's go keep on in verse 15. It says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So again, the gift of Jesus Christ of eternal life, it means so much more, because man has free will to say yay or nay, okay? It's just like if I have a nicely wrapped gift and I say, hey, I want to give this gift to you, okay? And I tell you, in this gift is something amazing that's going to change your entire life. You'll never be the same again or nothing, right? Now, it's up to you to decide that you want to take that gift out of my hand, okay? I cannot force that gift on you. Even though I know what's in that gift, and I know that gift is going to change your entire life, and I know that you'll never be the same again, okay? I cannot force the gift on you, okay? Even though it was me that made the gift possible for you to have, I can't force it onto you. You have to literally decide in your own mind, make up in your mind that, hey, yes, I want this gift, okay? And then you have to take it and believe by faith that what I told you is inside that gift box is something that's going to change your entire life. Now, if you don't take that gift and you don't believe that what I told you is inside it, then the gift is of no effect to you, and the gift will do you no good. Okay, but if you believe that what I'm telling you, if you have faith in what I'm telling you, that something inside that gift box is going to change your entire life, and you take it, you receive it, then guess what? The gift is good for you. The gift is going to change your entire life. The gift is going to change you. Amen? And that's how it is with Jesus Christ. If we believe that Jesus Christ hung on that tree 2,000 years ago for us, and that he took the sins of the entire world upon himself, and that he took our judgment. He took our judgment, brothers and sisters. And so what that means is that even though we were born with a sin nature and we were condemned to death, we were destined to die to eternal hell, to be in eternal darkness, what Jesus did was come in as the New Testament, and he sacrificed himself for us. He took the judgment, the penalty for us, because remember, God had to have a blood sacrifice, as he did with the animals back then in Moses' days. In the New Testament, there still had to be a blood sacrifice. But this blood sacrifice was going to come from his own self. Amen? And it was going to be one sacrifice for all men, for the entire world. But the thing about it, not the entire world is going to receive this gift, because the entire world is not going to accept it. Amen? So Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ and the grace of God has abounded unto all men, to many men, but not everyone is going to receive it. Amen. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So again, it's going back to letting us know the free gift does not come by the way that the offense of Adam came unto all men. Okay? The free gift is offered unto all men. Even though the free gift is for all men. The free gift, brother, sister, free gift, eternal, what the free gift is eternal life, salvation with Christ. Amen? It's grace. It's grace, salvation, eternal life, all wrapped into one. It's reconciliation to God. Okay, this is what the free gift is for us. Reconciliation to God, so we can be back, we can know how to love him again. Being adopted into the body of Christ, being heirs to the throne of God, salvation, eternal life with God, grace, and no more condemnation. That is the free gift that is offered to us. Amen. And that comes by way of Jesus Christ, by him offering up himself. See, this is the thing. He made the choice to offer up himself for us on the cross to take atonement for our sins so we can be justified by faith through him. Amen? So, but the thing is, we have to want to receive him. We have to have heard what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, let it go into our ear gate, receive it in our heart, and believe by faith that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to eternal life. And once you have done that, that gift now is yours. Amen? Hallelujah. But it didn't come by the way the offense came. Amen. The offense came because one man sinned. Okay? The gift came because one man died for all. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we are on verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, if by one man's offense, if by Adam's sin death reigned by one man, which is Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Notice it says, now it is much more they which receive, you've got to take it, you've got to want it, you've got to receive it yourself. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made it possible for anyone who wants to receive him to receive him. They can receive him. Jesus made that possible. Amen. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Amen. Basically, this scripture is reiterating the last three I talked about, and it's telling us, therefore, as by the offense, meaning the sin of Adam, came judgment upon all men, and that was the sin nature judgment, and that was also condemnation to be sentenced to eternal darkness. Okay? It says, even so by the righteousness of one, talking about the righteousness of Jesus, even so by the righteousness of Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Okay? So what Jesus Christ did for us has justified us because he took the judgment for us. Now we have been justified. That means we are no longer held accountable for our sins. Our sin nature is dead. It's like we pass from death unto life. As Jesus passed from death to life, we pass from a spiritual death to a spiritual life. The old sin nature we had was a sin nature. And it was a spirit sin nature. Amen. It's not just talking about the things that we did. It's talking about the spirit that we held or possessed inside of this mortal body. The spirit that we used to possess inside of this mortal body was a dark spirit. It was a sin spirit. It was an evil spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that came by way of Adam. Because our eyes were open to no good and evil. Our eyes are still open to no good and evil, except now when we receive Christ, no longer do we have a sin nature, but now we have a Christ nature. We have a God nature. Amen. So that means that our old spirit is killed off. And again, some people might say, well, why do I do some of the things that I used to do if I don't have that sin nature anymore? Well, the thing is, my brothers and sisters, you still got a sin mind. Okay? Your spirit is perfect. Okay? Your spirit is a Christ spirit, God's spirit. But your mind is a part of your body, meaning your thought process, your thinking, your believing, and all that. That's still a part of this mortal body that you live in. And what you got to do is continually renew your mind in the Word of God, in the things of God, making melody in your heart to God, singing psalms and hymns and praises unto Him. Okay? Continually allowing your mind to receive the Word of God. Just as you receive the gift from Christ, now you have to allow your mind to receive the Word, which is going to renew your mind, but not only renew your mind, transform your mind. It's going to make your mind new, but it's not only going to make your mind new, it's going to transform it from one state of being to another state of being. Okay? And that's why people still do some of the same old things. You know, you didn't get into it one day, and so you're not going. Your mind didn't start thinking one way one day. Everything that you learned in this life, you didn't learn it in one day. So it's going to probably take a lifetime to unlearn it. Some of the things of that old sin nature that you used to do. But your spirit is perfect, and that's what God is communicating with. God's communicating with your perfect spirit. Okay? And that's why the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you to communicate with your perfect spirit. And that's why you feel conviction, no longer condemnation, because you're not condemned anymore. You feel conviction when you do some things that are not conducive to who God is. So if it's not lining up with the Word of God and you do it, then you get convicted in the spirit, which is that guilt feeling. You get that feeling like, oh, something ain't right. Amen? And that's why you get that feeling, because the Spirit of Christ was in you. And you have a new spirit, and those spirits are connecting together. Amen? So that you cannot do the things that you used to do. So you do not want to do the things that you used to do. So no longer are you pursuing to live in a sin nature, but you are pursuing to live according to the Christ nature that is within you. And you may fall short of the glory of God. And I won't even say fall short of the glory of God. Let me take that back. For lack of a better word, you don't fall short of the glory of God. You fall short of your own expectations in trying to walk this walk according to the word. Okay? You think that you're supposed to have it right now and get it right now. But again, you didn't learn your sinful behaviors, you know, in one day, and you're going to have to unlearn all that stuff. But you unlearn it and you crucify it. You kill it off by continuing to renew your mind with the word and allow that Holy Spirit to transform you, your mind, so it can line up with your new spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you. Amen? Hallelujah. So put it like this. Christ's spirit dwells in us, but we also have another spirit, which is our reborn spirit. So we have a reborn spirit, which is the Christ nature. And we have the Spirit of Christ, the Comforter, dwelling in us, talking with our reborn spirit, talking to our reborn spirit, communicating with our reborn spirit, letting our reborn spirit know, okay, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, this is where you go, this is where you don't go. You communicate that with the flesh. And so crucify the flesh. Flesh wants what it wants. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we got to continue to crucify the flesh. And simply what that means, people say, what do you mean crucify the flesh? Crucify the flesh is denying yourself of those lusts and evil desires that you want to do, that you want to partake of. That's simply what it means. It's not a big deal. Amen? And again, the way you do that is continue allowing yourself to be renewed by the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so shall by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So by the disobedience of Adam, many were made sinners. By the obedience of Christ, many shall be made righteous. Okay? And again, notice in verse 19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, talking about what Adam did, it says, many were made sinners. Okay? Then it goes on and says, so by the obedience of one, talking about the obedience of Christ and what he did for us, it says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It says, many shall be made righteous. It didn't say many were made righteous. Many shall be made righteous. That means, brothers and sisters, the way many men are going to be made righteous is if they open up their heart to receive the gift of Christ, which he wants to give them, which is eternal life, grace, salvation, no more condemnation, to be in right standing with God, to be reconciled to God. Amen. Verse 20, looks like we're going to be able to wrap this up here today. It's not going to be a four-part series. It's just going to be a three-part series. We're on verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So it's trying to take us back a little bit. Back to Moses, it says, moreover, the law entered. The law of Moses entered, what God gave him, that the offense might abound. So the law of Moses entered so that sin might abound. And what that means is so that sin can be evident to the people who were in the sin nature. Because before, without the law, people, even though they were sinning, you know, a lot of them, you know, just thought that was normal. Hey, everybody else is doing it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with this. It's okay. Because God was not imputing the sins unto the people. Then he goes and he says, but where sin abounded, amen, it says grace did much more abound. Amen. So it's letting us know the power that grace has over sin. Even though sin abounded, amen, grace is much more powerful than sin. Amen. And so even though sin may abound and sin had a place in the world, okay, and among the people, sin was there and it looked like sin was going to take us out. But now the grace of God has come in, and the grace of God is much more powerful than the sin. Amen. Than the sin nature of man. Amen. It's much more powerful than that. And so God has already defeated the enemy. Amen. And so the enemy has no dominion where grace stands. Grace abounds. Grace abounds. The grace of God abounds. What is grace, you may say? Grace is what God gave us even though we didn't deserve it. He made it possible for us to have salvation even though we didn't deserve it. So he loved us that much. And we didn't deserve to have this, but he gave it to us anyway. That's grace, brothers and sisters. Amen? So grace abounds much more. Grace is much more powerful. Grace is much more powerful than sin. Verse 21 in the last scripture, it says that as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, here it is talking about that as sin, that sin nature that we once had, it reigned unto death. We were going to be, we were dead spiritually, amen, but we were also going to suffer an eternal death. But God, he allowed grace to come in and have dominion over sin. And so no longer will man be held accountable for his sins, because Jesus took the atonement, the penalty, the judgment for each and every one of us. He atoned for us. He took the penalty upon himself. He took the judgment upon himself with the sacrifice of his own life and the shedding of his blood through that sacrifice. As of the blood of lambs, now his blood was sacrificed for us. as was the blood of lambs. Now his blood was sacrificed for us. And that what that did was made us to be in right standing with God. It reconciled us back to him. And it gave us eternal life. And that's where we get salvation from. But we cannot receive this unless we believe this. And we decide to take that gift, my brothers and sisters. And this is how we, my brothers and sisters, are justified by faith through Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope that something that the Lord has allowed me to minister here or teach you really has enlightened you and let you know just how much God does love us, you know. And, you know, I would encourage you to stop allowing people to condemn you when God has not. Amen. And oftentimes people do it for a lack of knowledge themselves. So I don't want to rag on them or talk bad on them. What I want to say is that if you do not know the word, then you cannot know the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you have to allow yourself to get to know the word. Let that word marinate on the inside of you. Do a work in you. Amen. Renew you. Transform you. Make you new. Change you. If you so desire it, and you hunger and thirst after his righteousness, seek ye first him, and it shall be added unto you. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've listened to this, and you are being convicted in the spirit, or should I say, the spirit is pulling on your spirit to come to Jesus, brothers and sisters, it's time to make a change. Amen. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life that leads to eternal life. Amen. And I just thank you for listening here today. And remember, you can do it if you give God a chance. You can do it. Yeah, yes, you can. See you next time on God's Chosen Vessel Ministries here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Minister Jay Allen. Goodbye.